Please turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to be looking at the first six verses of Genesis 39. This copy of the scriptures is one of the three copies of scriptures that I have had during my adult life. It's hardly a morning that I don't have this copy or another copy open with a pen in hand to really try to fellowship with God and learn what I can to apply to my own personal life. And of course, as a business person, a certified public accountant, certain things pop out to me that maybe wouldn't come out to you or other people. And as I look at this copy, my wife gave this to me on my 24th birthday, a long time ago. Okay? I looked in my notes in Genesis 39. And sure enough, there were notes about the very topic I want to be able to share with you today about Joseph, the model employee. You know, I have an ambitious goal today. My goal is that when you look at this passage throughout the rest of your life, we'll all hear many times from it. We'll hear about Joseph's forgiveness. We'll hear about Joseph's moral integrity. We'll hear about his perseverance, his hope, his just doing the right thing through all the adversity. But my hope is that when you come upon this passage for the rest of your life, that's why it's an ambitious goal, is that you will also think, here's my model. Here's my example. Here's what I need to emulate as an employee myself, and show that I am also learning to be a model employee. Now, if you're sitting near someone who doesn't have a Bible or doesn't have their tablet or something in front of them, would you please notice that right now and share that with them? Just kind of maybe let them look on with you, please. These are the holy scriptures of a living God that we want to give our attention to this morning. Genesis 39, 1 through 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Father, please help us at this very time to consider carefully your precious word, the truth that we can live upon and really use to guide our lives. Please help us to understand and appreciate your expectations upon us as those who serve others. We pray this in Christ's truly precious name. Amen. Now, I see my confidence screen here that, okay, you guys got the full picture of this PowerPoint. And it's hopefully one of my students back there is going to be guiding it through. Hopefully, it'll give us some things to kind of keep us on track, keep me on track. And I'm a numbers guy, so let me kind of throw some numbers at you. Here's one. $1,800. I'm sorry, not dollars, $1,800. So according to the Economist publication, the average American worked 1,800 hours in 2012, and that was slightly less than what he worked in 1990. And so there we go. Okay. Now, at that pace, 90,000 hours are the number of hours that you would work in a typical career. 90,000 hours. And here's one more. 14.4. Okay, so if you were walking at a reasonably brisk pace of 4 miles per hour, that's the number of times that the worker, could have walked around the earth at the equator if he could walk on water. But of course, That's reserved for that special someone you've got your eyes on campus here who can walk on water in your mind anyway. Well, it's obvious from the few verses that we read that Joseph had matured into a fine, godly, I'm going to say employee. Now, I suppose we could call him that, but he was truly a slave held against his will. We understand that. But Joseph was raised in a home with a heritage centered on God, with a father who had been graciously taught by God to live by faith in spite of adversity, and frankly, in spite of his own sinfulness. Joseph, he was a guy that could likely have succeeded at any career God would have had for him to pursue his own interests. Yet, Joseph didn't get to decide his career. He didn't get to take personality tests. He didn't get to follow along with an experienced professional and learn the costs and benefits of certain choices in his career. And I'm not saying that Joseph maybe wouldn't want to do that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that as you consider what would be the initial career that God would have me to pursue. And how does that fit with the God-given gifts that God has blessed my life with? But he didn't have that chance. But apparently, Joseph was first concerned about being what God wanted him to be rather than necessarily doing what God wanted him to do. The prophet Micah leads us to think about this. Micah said in verse 6, in chapter 6, verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Christian author Kevin DeYoung addressed young men, young women, just like yourself, who wrestle with the truth of being before being concerned about doing. He says this, "We should spend more time trying to figure out how to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God as a doctor or lawyer, and less time worrying about whether to be a doctor or lawyer." Joseph did not choose what he would do in his work. He didn't even get to choose where he would do his work. But he had every opportunity for he himself to become what God would have him to be. On the inside, where the real Joseph lived. Speaking of job location, DeYoung continues, "The decision to be in God's will is not a choice between Memphis or Fargo or engineering or art. It's a daily decision we face to seek God's kingdom or ours, to submit to his lordship or not, to live in accordance with his rules or our own." Well, the scripture gives us a number of examples of employee relationships, some good, some bad. Take Jacob, for example. Jacob worked for his future father-in-law, Laban. He cheated. He manipulated his employer. He ultimately took many matters into his own hands. Gehazi, he served the prophet Elisha. Gehazi went behind his employer's back, contradicting a decision that Elisha had made, and then he lied about it. Fortunately, not only Joseph provides us a good example, but others, for example, Baruch. He performed well and righteously for his boss, Jeremiah. We find in Jeremiah 45 that Baruch was spared much grief because of his loyalty to his employer, if you will. And finally, the servant of Abraham adopted the same faith and faithfulness that his boss demonstrated when he paid strict attention to detail, followed his employer's instructions to the T, as he sought a wife for his boss's son. Let's return, though, to that Genesis 39 passage in verses 1 and 2. And we find, first of all, that the Lord was with Joseph. And we can know confidently he will be with us. Verse 1 and verse 2 again. "Then Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and Egyptians, bought him from the hands of the Ishmaelites, had him brought down thither." Verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph." And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So first of all, we see the Lord was with Joseph. The fact that the Lord was with Joseph was an encouragement. Think of it. If you were 17-year-old Joseph, you'd expect your father would painstakingly seek to find you. In his wildest dreams, could have Joseph thought that his brothers would have concocted such a story that they did? Think back with me to that desert scene. And Reuben. Reuben was there. Reuben didn't want that to happen. Certainly Reuben would tell. He thought, no, they're looking for me. They're going to come for me. But nobody in his family ever did, of course. No one came to rescue him. No one came to buy him back. But Joseph could rest in the reality that God was with him. You too can find yourself in a work situation. You will never find yourself in a work situation where God is not with you. You need not fear man. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man, it brings a snare. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You need not fear economic ruin. Psalm 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old. Get the right order there. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I like this one. You need not fear that your efforts will go unrewarded by an unthankful boss. Colossians 3:22-24. Servants, okay, employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing, do you hear that? Do you hear that? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. Of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Your work will be rewarded even if your employer is not the agent of it. But not only the fact that God was with Joseph was an encouragement, it was an admonition. We see in 2 Corinthians 4:2 that moreover, it's required in stewards that they be found faithful. Joseph was given God's presence. But as Jesus said, okay, so he was given God's presence, but this is what Jesus said about that situation. Okay, I'm there for you. I'm there with you. Jesus said, unto whomsoever much is given, okay, God is with you on that job. Much is given to you, then of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So knowing that God is with you is encouraging, but it's also an admonition. And remember, the Colossians passage we just read, servants obey in all things, fearing God. Yes, we fear our employer in a right respect. Our employer is giving us the opportunity to fulfill, hopefully, what we want to do eventually in our careers and support our families, ourselves. But we ultimately fear God, not men. So God has given you talents. Maybe one, maybe five, maybe 10. We have recorded in Matthew 25:24 about Jesus' parable, of course, of the unfaithful servant. Here's what Jesus said. Then he, which had received the one talent, came and said. Now you know what's coming, don't you? Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown and sowing where thou hast not strawed. His employer sighs and responds, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. You knew this. Young man, young woman, you will not be excused for failing to recognize the admonition that God is with you. We appreciate the encouragement, but it's also an admonition. Second, we see in Joseph's life that Potiphar saw that God was with Joseph. It's not only true that God is with us, but others will see that. That's the difference we're going to make. There's something different about you and your work on the job. Let's continue in verse 3 of our passage here. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that prospered in his hand. Now, Potiphar's observation didn't make chapter 2 any more true. But it does tell us that it is inescapable that others will see, and others saw that at the center of Joseph's work world was God. And that is what we want unbelievers around us to see. That at the center of our work world, our work world centers around God. Now, I'm guessing that many of you, perhaps you have seen in your life others who have evidenced this kind of relationship, that it is inescapably obvious at their workplaces. So earlier this semester, 46 of my students had an opportunity in class to write for Dr. Fafi. Okay, what a blessing, actually. What a blessing to me, because they wrote about Christian professionals who evidence that God is certainly at the center of their work worlds. They were writing about Christian professionalism and illustrating its characteristics by referring to the fruit of the Spirit that they saw evidenced in the lives of Christian professionals who live and work with others. Some wrote about goodness. Okay? The Holy Spirit empowers Christian professionals to do what is right, regardless of prevailing practices. Others see that God is in the lives of these Christian professionals. So Alex wrote of his father, "My dad's goodness really does set him apart from the competition. Not only do customers recognize it, but also other people in the industry recognize his goodness." Daniel testified about Mr. Steckman, who risked his job to communicate his discomfort as a Christian with some work his employer assigned. His employer reassigned the task to someone else, realizing that, quote, "If Steckman held himself to that high of a standard on a personal level, he could certainly be trusted to uphold the integrity of the company." Kirsten, she illustrated the quality of goodness by citing Mr. Estes, owner of Estes Design and Manufacturing. Unbelievers notice a difference that spreads even to his employees. One of the employees testified, quote, "For as long as I can remember knowing him, he has always done what is right, no matter the cost." And while others see that God is with the Christian worker, like Joseph, his or her motivation is first to please God, God's watchful eye rather than someone else's. Rachel's business owner dad reminded her, quote, "We never do a job well just because someone is watching. We work for excellence because we work for the Lord." Nevertheless, unbelievers will notice that God is with you. So God is with you. Others will notice that God is with you. And third, like Joseph, your work can be made to prosper, bringing success to you and to those whom you're serving. Verse 2 again, the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, of the Egyptian. His master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did for Potiphar to prosper in his hand. Continuing on, down into verse 5, "And it came to pass, from the time that he made him overseer of his house over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Jacob's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all in the house and in the field." Joseph didn't get paid a lick for this work. Okay? For his work for Potiphar. Oh, a job promotion in Potiphar Enterprises into a place of public recognition and praise. Forget about it. Yet the scriptures say he was a prosperous, successful man. And he had a Midas touch that seemed to turn everything that he touched for his employer into golden opportunities and golden results. Now, in this passage, notice the careful selection of the words in verse 5. Quote, from the time he made him overseer. From the time he made him overseer. All right, now, business owners, wealthy individuals, military leaders, they all consider and implement either long-term strategies or short-term tactics that they believe will improve their profits, their bank rolls, the management of the resources that they have under them. And any one of a number of strategies or tactics could have been credited for the prosperity of Pharaoh's house and in his field. I think I can hear Potiphar and his buddies. Wow, that was some sweet investment, Potiphar. How did you know that cell phones would catch on so fast? Or, hey, Potiphar, looks to me like your genetically modified seed strategy is paying big dividends. Well, maybe that's a little updated version, okay? But no. God orchestrated Joseph's oversight of Potiphar's resources in such a way that it was obvious that the dramatic change for the good began exactly at the time Joseph moved into leadership. And God received the glory. You know, God may choose to use the fruit of the Spirit in your life to glorify himself. We've considered the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. Let's consider the fruit of the Spirit of love. The fruit of the Spirit of love in you as a Christian employee should motivate you to serve others, including those who seek the product of your work. Young man, young woman, God has wired you as his child to serve. It just so happens people like to be served, employers including. So serve because you love God, and you love people. As far as I can tell from scriptures, Joseph never personally prospered economically because of his work for Potiphar. You may very well be the one to prosper if that's what God wills for your life. We see finally that Potiphar trusted Joseph without reservation. You must gain this kind of trust as well. It's why we would look to Joseph as our model. Oh, could I get to the position in my responsibilities where my boss would trust my diligence and my faithfulness and my integrity and my loyalty like he did Joseph? As a 24-year-old man reading this copy of Scripture, I studied that and I thought, that's what I want to be. I desired that I would be that way. Now, did I do it all the time? No. Okay. But by God's help, he did. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Verse 6, you see that? He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And Potiphar knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. From a business standpoint, Potiphar, you're an idiot. Why? That's the number one first rule in protecting your business investment, and you violated it. What's that number one rule? Owner involvement. Owner there every day. Owner seeing what's going on. He just said, here's the keys, Joseph. Joseph, where's the cereal? I need breakfast. Everything in his hands. Wow. Could an owner ever trust you, me, like that? Well, Potiphar trusted Joseph like that. Joseph exhibited integrity and diligence. And because he was self-supervised, Joseph gained Potiphar's trust to work in his boss's interests, not in Joseph's interest. You know, this wasn't the case for Jacob when he connived to cheat his father-in-law Laban. Oh, no, he was looking out for his interests, wasn't he? Gehazi. Gehazi tried to enrich himself when Elisha said this. He said, no. He said, is it, he asked this question. He said, is it time, Gehazi, to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and the men servants and maid servants? The answer, no. It's 2 Kings 5:26. Gehazi, he wasn't worthy of being trusted. So Joseph was this self-disciplined individual, and he exhibited the Holy Spirit fruit of temperance. He would have been encouraged by recognition, but of course, he didn't fall apart when he didn't get it. Again, some of my students wrote about Christian professionals who evidenced spirit-enabled self-discipline, self-motivation. We call it temperance. Juwan, he recognized the wise time management of his coach, our own coach Spate. Okay? Micah, he spoke of his business owner dad. Quote, he has found ways to manage his time to be very productive. He's encouraged by recognition, but is motivated more by himself than others. And this, I really appreciate it. It was emotional for me, honestly, to read what your fellow students said about these professionals and their faithfulness to God's word and how that discipline, daily discipline, made a huge difference in their lives. So a number of students wrote of the disciplined practice of spending time alone with the Lord every day as their Christian professionals start to this self-motivated, self-disciplined, spirit-enabled day. Quote, he's always up in the morning before everyone preparing for the day with devotions. Another one, every morning without fail, he gets up before dawn and spends an hour with God. Another, daily devotions. Another, before he actually starts work, he does his devotions. Another, spends every day in God's word. Whew, what a way to begin your day. And if you're going to serve others and be recognized as one who is diligent and worthy of trust and confidence that you will know what to do and you will do it, that's the kind of character we want. Genesis 39, 1 through 6, character. So we ought to learn much from Joseph's life, and we certainly should learn what it is to have forgiveness for great offenses against us. We ought to learn what it means to have moral integrity when facing temptations that would wreck and ruin our lives and would violate our God. We ought to look at Joseph's life and say, here's a man, a young man, who had hope in his God. But I'm also hoping when you look at this passage, you'll see the model employee. If you do, you're going to know that God is with you. It'll be an encouragement to you. It'll be an admonition to you. Also, others will see that God is with you. And this truth, it'll be undeniable that you will do what is right regardless of the choices, the actions of others. We will all do this. If we all do this, we will serve. We will serve genuinely, productively, and we will look to God for our rewards, even when an employer fails to do so. We will do that because we love God. And those that we serve may even give us more responsibility. After all, Jesus said this. Now listen carefully what he said in Luke 16, 10, 11, and 12. Here's what Jesus said. He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the trust of true riches? Jesus asked. He asked this next question. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? The answer? No one will give you that. Not God, not man. Let's pray. Father, we are so in awe of the testimony of your word and the truth and the examples that you give to us by your Holy Spirit-inspired word of godly employees like Joseph. Lord, we truly ask by your Spirit that you would help us to exhibit these qualities and to develop them more and more as we pursue our initial careers, as we serve through our work and ministries, that you might be honored. Lord, that the glory might truly go to you because of what you do with our lives as model employees. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.